山恩，那个丫头官呢，经历上的历史，我把人民一起口风一根。The dear literary of the day, Chairman Rabbi Yaakov Reichenbach, Chairman Rabbi T. Zuchnik, the dear rabbis, ladies and gentlemen, yesterday, June's in all the synagogues throughout the world celebrated Parshas Torah. Shabbos Torah is the third special Shabbos of the four special Shabbos the Jews celebrate between Chodesh Adar and Chodesh Nisan by reading an additional portion of the Torah over in the book. The regular portion of the law. The four special Shabboses are Parshas Kohen, Parshas Zochea, Parshas Poro, and Parshas Achea. On Shabbos Parshas Kohen, we read the Parsha of Shom in Kisisa. And the reason is because starting with Rosh Chodesh Nisan, we are required to offer all the Kabbonis Sibol from the new Trumas HaLishka. The second special Shabbos is called Shabbos Zochet. And the reason is that on the Shabbos before Purim, we read the parasha of Zochet Yeris HaShorosu Lecho HaMolech, but there are the Kreis Chem Mitzrayim. Over and above the regular prayer. The reason for this prayer is the Pasuk in the Asestah. Of the Hayomim Ho'ele is Kohen Vina'asim, which implies that Tzchire precedes Asiyah. The third special Shabbos is Shabbos Poh, and on that Shabbos we will read the Parashah of Poh Adumah, over and above the regular tree of the week. The reason for reading the Parashah of Poh Adumah on the Shabbos of the Purim is to remind the Jews that if anyone is unclean by virtue of having contacted a mess, then it is incumbent upon him to purify himself with the ether of Bor Adumah. The fourth special Shabbos is Shabbos HaChodesh, and is celebrated either on Shabbos HaChodesh Nisan or on Shabbos Nivoruch in Chodesh Nisan. On this Shabbos, we read the parasha of Achidish Hazeh Lachem, over and above the regular Kriya of the week. At first blush, it appears that except for the Kriya of Parshas Zochei, the Shabbos preceding Purim, the reasons and purposes of celebrating the three other special Shabboses are not relevant today, except by way of Zecha L'Midosh and Nishalma Poins for Sein. However, when one delves into the Sukkah in Migilet Avot of Koroet Hamdilo Bodo Vishay, the Nisabra Hashoyal Hashono, if the Tzibur read all the parshas in Orish, and then the Sanhedrin decided to be Nisabra Hashono, and that's the way you pass through, that we have to reread all the parashas. She commits to Shani in Hadis Berishit. And the Gemara's explanation of time is of Shimon Gamriel is because Nisma Gulo Li Gulo. This implies that the reading of these parshas have a motive of Gula. And because of that, even if these parshas were read in a vision, but if the Sanhedrin decided to remember the Shana, then they have to be reread. A After taking notice of this immoral in Gilad Avod, one must come to the inescapable conclusion that in addition to the individual reasons and purposes for leading each special Shabbat, Parshe, and each of the four special Shabbosays, there is a composite reason and purpose for leading the four special Parshias and the four special Shabbosays together. The composite reason and purpose for reading the four special parshas is in order to convey the message of chaos, of freedom, from the Torah perspective fully. And this composite reason and purpose is as relevant today as it was Bizman HaBayis, and perhaps even more relevant. I think that the composite reason and purpose for the reading of the four special Shabbosays are implicit in two psukim in Yirmiyahu Perek Tes, psukim Chof Beis and Chof Gimel, which read as follows: Koy Omar Ad Hashem, Al Yisaleil Chochom B'Chochmatoi, V'Al Yisaleil HaGibeya B'Gvurosei, V'Al Yisaleil Oshio B'Oshrei, Tin Yizoish Yisaleil HaMisaleil, Haskeil B'Yodea Yisi, כי אני אדישם, אוי שחסד, משפטו זאת בארץ, כי בואי לחופת פינום אדישם. ושם דלות, רתנד לייזמן, גלורי, in his wisdom, neither let a mighty man glory in his might, let not a rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth, glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord, who exercises mercy, justice, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, says the Lord. The expression of the Salil Chochom B'Chochmatoi, let not a wise man glory in his wisdom, is expressive of the message of Parshas Korah. The paradoxical law of Korah Adumah, of its seemingly contradictory qualities, of Mitayat Yehim, and Mitamei Teherim, is reflective of the proper attitude from the Torah perspective towards the dimension of Chokhmah, of wisdom, of reason, of science, of enlightenment, and progress. From the Torah perspective, Chokhmah is the most important gift or bounty that Almighty God has bestowed upon man. In the Amidah, we mention Chokhmah as the first in the list of Akoshe Soho, when we say Bichoneinu Mi'itcho, they are being of a high scale. However, the paradoxical law of Torah Adumah teaches us that notwithstanding the fact that wisdom, reason, enlightenment, science, and progress constitute the most important bounty possessed by men, still manage to place certain limitations upon the exercise of reason by realizing that there are certain things in the realm of Torah, in the realm of nature, and in the realm of God's administration of the world that are beyond the inquisitive grasp of the limited human mind. The expression Val Yisaleil Dibeya Bidvorosei, let not a mighty man glory in his might, is expressive of the message of Parshas, namely that force can be used only as a last resort under special circumstances of indispensable self-defense of Havroga Hoge Chohashkin Borge on an individual level, or as an indispensable means of self-defense on a collective level, as the Medrash Tanchumeh points out in connection with the Pasuk in the Torah, Tzcheiras HaMidyonim Kitzirimim Lachem Mikanamu Chachamim Habolo Hogecho Hashkein Ve'Ogoi. Parashat Zohar teaches us also the lesson, as the Rambam in his Agdome to the Pirush HaMishneh points out, that false canon should be applied against Amalek by way of retribution, provided Tinobi Bishim HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes and tells us Prokadeti Eis Asher Osuch Amalek. But under normal circumstances, the approach should be of Loi Mikhail, the Loi Mikhail, King Beruchi Omar Hashem Tzvotei. the expression al misali loshir v'oshrei, let not a rich man glory in his wealth, is expressive of the message of Parshas Kolim, which teaches us the lesson that wealth can be a source of blessing for the Jewish people, for humanity, and for the world at large, only if it is centered around the Mishkan, around the sanctuary. Only the wealth is geared to the goal of promoting power, of promoting Dusha, if it is geared to the goal of instilling joy into the lives of the unfortunate, the sick, the needy, the depressed, and the crushed. But if it is centered around affluence and vanity, then it can be the source of the catastrophe of the negative. Many times in the history of man, wealth has been used as a factor in promoting bloodshed and war. Israel, if you want to lift the head of the Israelite, lift to the end. The expression is expressive of the message of Parshas Achilles, the message of chaos, of freedom. From the Torah perspective, freedom consists, as it is pointed out by our sages, in respect to the pursuit, the amichtov maasi alakim, chorus alaluchais, al tikko chorus alachirus, sheilichot alachirim, elomish eisek b'teira. Eisek b'teira does not mean just study of the Torah. What eisek b'teira means, study of the Torah combined with an all-encompassing behavior that is completely and motivated by Torah. They were Talmud Shemaver Yemaise. Yeshivas Brisk was founded 12 years ago as a transplant of the Yeshiva of Elohim and Brisk of all. The Brisk of Derech has become recognized as the profound approach in the exposition of Torah. What is the quintessence of the Brisk of Derech? Many people say that a Brisk of Derech consists of the analytical approach being employed in the exposition of Torah. I think that this definition of the Brisk of Derech is indicative of an under-evaluation of the Torah greatness and scholarship of the contemporaries of the time. I think that every contemporary rov of the time, every rov of every town and village in Russia, Poland, Lithuania, and Hungary employed the analytical approach in the exposition of thought. I think that Reb Chaim Derech was unique in that the whole Derech was grounded in the concept underlying the paradoxical law of Torah Aduma, namely that in the study of the Torah one has to realize that there are certain things in the Torah which are beyond the inquisitive grasp of the limited human mind. I once heard from my father, the Zecheinu Lebracha, that at one time Reb Chaim met a certain rov on the train. That rov was a rov in a small village, but he was recognized as a big Gadol B'Torah. That rov said to Reb Chaim that he had spent lots of time in trying to understand the real meaning of Shibud Bechosim. What does Shibud mean? He said to Reb Chaim. Does Shibud Bechosim mean that the Malve has a kinyan in the Nechosim of the Leve, or it means something else? Reb Chaim responded, I did not spend even 1 minute in pondering upon the meaning of Shibud Bechosim, just as I did not spend even 1 minute in pondering upon the question as to why 2 times 2 is 4. 2 times 2 is 4, because 2 times 2 is 4. Similarly, Shibud is Shibud, because Shibud is Shibud. That is the difference. Then Jethro was recognized as a model, said to Reb Chaim, that she has an explanation for the halacha p'tuse b'chashur. And he tried, he wanted to mention his explanation of p'tuse b'chashur. And he said, and he was became a little angry. He said, p'tuse b'chashur is halacha l'meishim Sinai. Why do you have to explain it? Do you have to explain why 2 times 2 is 4? It's halacha l'meishim Sinai. So he said, but what's wrong with explaining it? I, to my explanation, it will become clear as to why 2 times 2 is like 2 times 2 is 4. So Reb Chaim said, you can't explain a halacha l'meishim Sinai. The only way to explain a halacha l'meishim Sinai is by realizing it cannot be explained. And if you try to explain halacha l'meishim Sinai, it means you don't understand the halacha l'meishim Sinai. P'tuse b'chashur is not his svara. It is not to be perceived through svara and through explanation. It's even osher to try to explain halacha l'meishim Sinai. And it makes no sense, just as you try to explain why 2 times 2 is 4. 2 times 2 is 4, because 2 times 2 is 4. P'tuse b'chashur, because P'tuse is b'chashur. I think that both Reb Chaim and Bethov, I'm not going to mention they, but who was recognized as a bubble in the Torah world, had the analytical approach. But there is one basic difference. Bethov tried to understand every halacha in terms of human logic. Reb Chaim tried to understand every halacha, not in terms of human logic, but in terms of a special logic carved out of the Torah itself. This is the uniqueness of the Brisker approach. I think that the uniqueness of Reb Chaim's approach in the elucidation of halacha, and which can just as effectively be used in Ashkope and in ascertaining the keches hanefesh of a human being and in evaluating ethical values. And Reb Chaim himself used this approach in Ashkope as well as in ascertaining keches hanefesh. That this, Reb Chaim's approach, can be explained in terms of the most profound Hashkot insight mentioned by the Baal HaTanya in his Likutei Torah, Sedra Bechu Kesav. The Baal HaTanya, in discussing Torah Shebichsav, or written law, points out that there are 2 types of Torah Shebichsav. I think that today the Torah Shebaal Peh can be written, and there is no Yisar of Vorim Shebaal Peh, Yat Rashoye Leivam Bichsav, that the same classification of 2 types of Torah Shebichsav applies to Torah Shebaal Peh as well. Now the Baal HaTanya says there are 2 types of Torah Shebichsav. One is represented by the usual Sifat Torah that consists of the usual writing, ink of compartment, joy al gabi klat. The second type of Torah Shebichsav is represented by the 2 tablets, or Luchos HaBris, that Moshe Rabbeinu brought down from Sinai. Here the words were not written, but engraved, Chakika. The difference between these 2 forms of written law is that the first consists of 2 substances, ink and parchment, the oil cloth, merging together into 1 entity. Whereas the second type, chitke, consists only of 1 substance. Then the Baal HaTanya points out that there are 2 kinds of thinking techniques. One type of thinking technique is what is called machshavat hatoyeh, a lower level thinking technique. A thinking in terms of words, not in terms of abstract concepts. which is analogous to the type of written law that is represented by Sefer Torah, that is written through the writing of the ink upon the parchment, or the fusion of two substances into one end. The other type of thinking technique is what is called Machshavei Elohim, an upper level thinking technique, a thinking in terms of abstract ideas and concepts, not in words, which is analogous to the type of a written law that is represented by the Sartorah, that is written for Chiche, or engraving, where the letters and the material consist of the same substance. The Medrash Satore is descriptive of human logic, which consists of thinking in terms of words. And the Balatanya in the Torah mentions the Pasuk in Bereishis, by Yehodom Linefesh Chayo, which Nicholas renders into Ruach Mimalo. That means that the regular person, even the greatest intellectual, who is stimulated only by Machshavei Torah, he thinks in terms of words, not in terms of abstract concepts and ideas. And modern psychologists too draw the distinction between two types of thinking, a thinking in terms of words and a thinking in terms of abstract ideas and concepts. The Machshavei Elohim is descriptive of the logic carved out from the Torah itself, which consists of the thinking in terms of abstract concepts. The Machshavei Torah consists of the thinking technique in terms of words. The Priska Derech involves Machshavei Elohim, where logic carved out of the Torah itself, not to the logic, is employed in the exposition of Torah, and consequently, everything there is of the same substance. There is no human logic involved in the Priska Derech. In conclusion, I would like to discuss a certain phenomenon or fact in hearing in Yeshiva's Brisk that might be raised in the mind of some of you, and that might raise in the mind of some of you a doubt as to the viability of Yeshiva's Brisk, in view of the fact that in the course of the 12 years that Yeshiva's Brisk has existed, it has not grown quantitatively in terms of the size of the student body. I would like to discuss this thought in conjunction with a passage in Zohar, Vorin Sedra Hadinu, which has a very significant bearing upon this skeptical thought as to the viability of Yeshiva's Brisk. The Zohar tells us in the beginning of Parshas Hadinu, on the day that the Shimon Bar Yochai was to depart from this world, which was a Lag BaOmer, the sages came to visit him, and the house was crowded with Talmidim, or disciples, whereupon Reb Shimon Bar Yochai began to weep, to cry, and he said, "Once before I was on the verge of death, from which I was miraculously saved, and only my student, Reb Pinchos Ben Yair, came to see me all by himself. He was surrounded by flame before me, which radiated light into all the corners of the house, as well as into all the corners of the outside of the house. Now I see that the house is full, not just my students, but so many students, too numerous to be counted, but the fire sees. I don't see any fire encompassing the Talmudim that fill up the house. I don't know whether this Zohar is to be understood literally or figuratively. One lesson, however, can undoubtedly be deduced from this remarkable passage in the Zohar, namely that the greatness and viability of the Torah institution is not in any way contingent upon the size of the student body, but rather upon the spiritual fervor of Torah learning and sanctity. According to Bizra, Shimon Bar Yochai had two yeshivas. In his younger days, Shimon Bar Yochai had a small yeshiva. In terms of the size of the student body, the smallest yeshiva possible, only one town, Pinchas ben Yoyah, couldn't be smaller. At the end of his life, Shimon Bar Yochai had a very big yeshiva. In terms of the size of the student body, the disciples of Shimon Bar Yochai and Lag BaOmer, the date of his istalkus, the day of his istalkus, filled up the house. There was no standing space left. Shimon Bar Yochai felt that the peak of his upward historic career was realized not at the end of his life when he had a full house, but rather in the early part of his life when he had only one student, but that one student was encompassed by a burning flame, Rabbi Pinchas ben Yair. One student, why? Obviously because the criterion and earmark of a great Torah institution is not the size of the student body, but rather the quality of the fervor of Torah learning and sanctity. The Zohar says that Rav Shimon Bar Yochai wept when he saw that his house was full, but no flame surrounded them. Why did he cry? It is obvious that a flame did surround them. It does not mean that there was no flame altogether. It is to be understood on a relative scale. They did not display that flame that Shimon Bar Yochai expected them to display. But there was flame. There were the Tanoim, the Talmidim of Rav Shimon Yochai, it's inconceivable that there was no burning flame. But it was not the kind of flame that he expected them to display. So the question arises, why did Rav Shimon Bar Yochai weep? What difference does it make whether the peak of Rav Shimon Bar Yochai's career took place in the early part of his life or at the end of his life? I think that Rav Shimon Bar Yochai wept not because the peak of his apostolic career took place in the earlier part of his life, but because Rav Shimon Bar Yochai felt that some of his Talmidim unfortunately considered the size of the student body as the earmark of a great Torah institution. Rav Shimon Bar Yochai considered this kind of thinking as emanating from Machshavah to Torah, from the lower level type of thinking to teenage. It emanated from a human logic, not from a logic carved out from the Torah itself. Only one who is stimulated by human logic can consider size of the student body as the earmark of the greatness of the Torah institution. From the perspective of logic carved out from the Torah, it doesn't make sense to consider size and quantity and number of students as earmarks of the greatness of the Torah institution. If one thinks in terms of words, let's mark Shabbat the Torah, as the Baal Tanya says, instead of in terms of abstract concepts, then he is apt to be impressed by the watchwords of size, number, quantity. However, if one thinks in terms of abstract ideas and concepts, not in terms of watchwords, then he is apt to be impressed with the burning flame or the fervor of Torah and sanctity that encompasses the student of Torah. Rav Shimon Bar Yochai wept because he realized that some of the people who filled up the house and Lag BaOmer were more impressed with the size and the number of the people killing at the house than with the burning flame encompassing these people. And that the Shem Baruch Hu considered as a very, very sad phenomenon, because it's a deviation from the Machshav Eloye. This is grounded, such a thinking and such a concept is grounded in Machshav HaTorah, in human logic, not in the logic carved out of the Torah. That's indicated that these people were stimulated and inspired by Machshav HaTorah rather than by Machshav HaTorah. That they were evaluating greatness of the Torah institution in terms of watchwords, numbers, size, money, assets. That's why Rav Shimon Bar Yochai cried, Yeshiva's brisk from the perspective of Machshav HaTorah is a very small yeshiva, one of the smallest yeshivas in America. It has small classes, very small classes, but from the perspective of Machshav Eloye, Yeshiva's brisk is a very big yeshiva, one of the great Torah institutions in America and in the world. Because all the Rebbeim in Yeshiva's brisk are trained in the brisk aderech of interpreting and evaluating everything in terms of abstract ideas and concepts, not in terms of words. In the course of the 12 years, Yeshiva's brisk has produced and trained not only Rabbanim and Mechanchim, who are now Marbitz Torah and past Mishairis in all in Yom HaTorah in America, in Chicago, in Pittsburgh, in New York, in Milwaukee and in Los Angeles, as well as in Israel, but it also in the course of the 12 years produced some of the Chachamim who are proficient and distinguished in all fields of the sciences and arts and the professions, in medicine, in dentistry, in law, in engineering, in social work, in administration, in psychology, in CPA, in business and in computers, in America and in Israel. They are Mikadish Es Hashem with their proficiency and scholarship and behavior. Some of them are sitting here now. I'm not going to mention their names because they are all humble and shy, and they will be embarrassed. However, I will mention the names of two former committees of Yeshiva's Brisk who are not here. One is David Achobam, who is the head doctor of the Mogen David Adom, and who got last year the Pesach Nefesh Award from the classes. And in Israel, there are so many doctors who study in Harvard, in Cambridge, in Columbia University, in Yale, all over the world. And there are many doctors who study in numerous and multifarious yeshivas in America and in Europe. But who got the Pesach Nefesh Award from the classes? The only one, David Applebaum, a Talmid of Brisk. And he was interviewed by the correspondents of all the newspapers, Mariv and Davar and all the newspapers. And they all asked him, how did you do it? So he said, in the Shiva's Brisk, the Rebbeim taught me to be dedicated to Torah and to Atzilus Nefoshes. David Applebaum, like every other Talmud of the Shiva's Brisk, is surrounded by a burning flame. That's the reason as to why he, of all the doctors, hundreds of doctors in Israel, from all universities and from all yeshivas, he was chosen as the awardee of the Pesach Nefesh Award. Then I'll mention a name, a boy by the name of Asher Lapatin, who only recently, it was mentioned in all the newspapers in America, he got the World Scholarship. It was mentioned, I go to New York every week, so many people asked me, I didn't know it was in the New York Times, in the Globe, in all the newspapers, all over America and Canada. And it was mentioned here, they told me the priest, how come hundreds of yeshiva students so applied for the old scholarship and only Talmid of yeshiva's priest got the old scholarship? It's a miracle! Is he such a genius? I said he's a smart boy. But he's not a genius, far from being a genius. But I said, you know the reason as to why he got it? Because in yeshiva's priest, he was trained to have a burning flame encompassing him. And do you know where that burning flame emanates from? It emanates from the fire of Sinai. The Rambam and Rabbi Nebuchadnezzar, especially Rabbi Nebuchadnezzar, in their Perushim on the Torah say, in respect to your posse, Yisham Orocho, Petishkach, Esad Vodim Asharol Onecho, Ufe Yosuro Yubodecho, Chim Yimich Ayecho, Beidaito Yubonecho, Yubnei Bonecho, Yim Asharo Marito, Lifnei Yisham Orocho Becheim, and then the Torah says, Udborot Shomato Mitechoish, the Rabbi Mechaya points out that we have to remember that when the Torah says Yisham Orocho, Petishkach, it implies two things. One, we shouldn't forget the voice of Sinai. As the Gemara in Noche says, if somebody is Sheikhi, don't have a Mishnosei, he Mishnosei, not to an Enes, he's either allowed the Reise of Hishamalach Pentisha, that's what it says in Noche, Hishamalach Pentisha, as that Vodem Asher Olech. And then number two, Rabbi Lachai says, it also implies we shouldn't forget the fire of Sinai. And that fire of Sinai. So we try to heal in each and every time. That fire of Sinai. So we try to heal in each and every time. And under the day in Yeshiva's risk are saturated with the Priska Derech. Not only the Priska Derech in understanding the Rambam, the Raivot, the Goyim Oles, in Paulina Dibure, but the Priska Derech of determining everything in terms of the logic carved out from the Torah itself, not in terms of the human logic. And from that point of view, Yeshiva's Brisk is one of the greatest yeshivas in the world. From the point of view of Machshavi Roye, from the point of view of Machshavi Patoe, is the smallest yeshiva in the world. One of the smallest. I suppose that's still smaller. But from the point of view of Machshavi Roye, it's one of the biggest yeshivas in the world, because all of the day were trained in the Priska Derech, the Chaim Derech. And now I would like to say a few words about Rabbi and Mrs. Yitzchok Elchonon Giffen. And I emphasize Rabbi and Mrs. Yitzchok Elchonon Giffen, not Rabbi and Mrs. Irwin Giffen. The name Irwin is the only relic of old Chicago that attaches to Rabbi Giffen. Everything else that pertains to Rabbi Giffen is emanates from Machshav Eloi. But the name Irwin emanates from the Machshav Titoye of old Chicago. And I suggest that from now on, we should not refer to Rabbi Jack Reichenbach, but Rabbi Yaik Reichenbach. Not Rabbi Harvey Zuckner, Harvey emanates from the Machshove Titoye of old Chicago, Rab Tzvi Zuckner. No Harvey Zuckner anymore. Rabbi Giffen. Whenever I think of Rabbi Giffen, it seems to me that Rabbi Giffen's involvement in Yeshiva's Brisk could not have been an accident. Because we believe in Hashgacha Pratis, there are no accidents. But even without recourse to a Munna, just on the basis of speculative thinking, Rabbi Giffen's involvement in Shiva's priest was in necessity. And it was obviously done by the Hashgacha, because Rabbi Giffen, for some inexplicable reason, had an innate disposition towards the burning flame that deviates from the Priska Derech. And the Priska Derech of Reb Chaim, where does that emanate? It emanates from the Pinchas Ben Yoyah's Derech. Of course, not Chas V'Shalom, that Pinchas Ben Yoyah developed Reb Chaim's Derech, but Reb Chaim developed the technique of interpreting Torah that was a spark of Reb Pinchas Ben Yoyah's Derech, namely the Derech of understanding every halacha, not in terms of human logic, but in terms of a special logic carved out from the Torah itself. And when Yeshivas Brisk decided to honor Rabbi and Mrs. Yitzchak Elchanan Giffen, so the reason was not because of recognition, but because Rabbi and Mrs. Yitzchak Elchanan Giffen are in effect Mr. and Mrs. Brisk, or Rabbi and Mrs. Brisk. Rabbi and Mrs. Giffen have been at the helm of the founding and the maintenance and the survival in face of all hardships and sacrifices from its inception. And it is my prayer to Rabbi and Mrs. Giffen that they should progress and that they should raise a glorious family in Israel and that they should be able to develop Yeshivas Brisk along the lines of Machshavei Eloi. And we don't have to revive the Machshavei Kitoya of old Chicago. And there should be an end to the names Irwin and Jack and Han.
Sharp, huh?
Excellent.